keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Good morning, Simple Church. Come on, let me hear you. I'm going to be very honest with you and tell you right from the very beginning, I'm going to need your help today because it's been a long, long week and we got a lot of heavy stuff going on with different people in our church and things. So I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you watching and I'm going to need you. So I got your help today. Can I get a little love? Perfect. All right. So here's what we're doing. We're talking about good advice, bad advice today. Continuing this series, having a little fun with it. And reminder, send in your advice. If you find something, if you see something, send it in. I'm going to try to work it in the message. I got a bunch to kind of work in because a lot of people are sending me stuff. So because of graduation, someone was a little bit late, and they're like, this one's pretty good, though. You still got to share it. So here's the first one in terms of advice. Now that you've graduated, just remember bosses don't usually accept notes from your mother. Can I get an amen? There you go. All right. Here's another one. When life gives you lemons, what do? Squeeze them in people's eyes. Yes. Okay, there's a good one. But here's another one. Never give advice unless asked. Can I get an amen on that? So a lot of times, like, people are always trying to give advice. You're like, oh, hold it. All right, here's another one. If you're going through hell, just keep going. Can I get an amen on that one? That one's really good. It's Winston Churchill because I just thought about, man, there's a lot of people going through a lot of difficult circumstances. And we just got to keep on going, man. Do not give up, man. Thanks for watching today and being here because this one really does apply to a lot of circumstance situations that I personally know about. So thank you for hanging in there. But these last two people found that were going along the lines of working a job. And it was a perfect setup for today's message. Job advice. Here we go. Young people, if you don't know what you're doing, walk fast and look worried. That's pretty good. Get a new job, you know what I'm saying? You just walk through. Walk fast and look concerned, and people don't give you a hard time, all right? Here's another one, though. This is probably better even still. There will be someone you work with who suffers from an illness known as stupidity. Show them pity, right? Come on. Don't talk about that neighbor right now. Don't talk about your boss, you know. Just kind of walk through it. Well, those are all the different ones people have sent me this week, and that's just some, and a lot of them are coming in, so thank you for doing that. Just remember my email, justin@thesimplechurch.tv. If you hear something encouraging or you find something funny, man, we love to hear it from you and send it on to us. Now, if you are new to Simple Church, this message will probably help you out and understand a little bit more about who we are and what we're about. And it will give you a little bit more insight into my life and the way that I was brought up and things I've gone through. If you're older, you're like, okay, I've kind of heard this, but pay attention because not everything is old news to you. A lot of these things still apply to things that are happening right now and why we need your help today. But let me start by saying I wasn't always a pastor. Now, most of you would go, well, that explains a lot right there, because when you look at me and the way that we do church here, it's a little different, and I know that it is intentional, but I wasn't always a pastor. I never thought I was going to be a pastor. Matter of fact, the first jobs that I have, one was cleaning houses with my mom, which was very difficult and challenging because she cleaned apartments, and it was tough, man. When someone would move out, we would come in and clean that apartment up and get it ready for the new person. Very, very challenging. So I quickly moved from that into sacking groceries. Anybody done that before? Yeah, that's a blessing right there. That was when there was paper and plastic, you know what I'm saying? You'd kind of go through that, and we'd have a little fun, and this was back in the 80s. That was all right. It wasn't horrible, but I quickly moved to the best job for a young person in high school, and it was putt-putt golfing games. Anybody remember putt-putt? Now, there's only about 5 or 10 of y'all. The rest of you are like, what is putt-putt? I'm going to take you back in time because I actually have a commercial from when I worked there. Now, I'm not in this commercial, but this is from the time frame that I was here, and this is Shreveport's very own putt-putt golfing games commercial. Watch this.
Putt-putt for the fun of it at Putt-Putt Golf and Games with 54 holes of miniature golf. Putt-putt offers group rates, company discounts, rain checks, tournaments, and lock-ins. Putt-putt has a special birthday party package for every age group. Video games and a great concession stand add to the fun. Go, go, go on Putt-putt's exciting go-kart racetrack. Practice hitting in Shreveport's only batting dome. Shreveport's family fun park is Putt-putt Golf and Games, 9660 Mansfield Road.
Come on, y'all. Give it up for Putt-Putt. There was a lot of fun back then, man. I got way more stories that I can share right now. Just remind me, and I'll put some of those in messages. There was a lot of fun. We almost burnt down the batting cage. I can tell you that, but I'll get into that another time. Wrecked go-karts. We had rode a horse, actually, on that putt-putt golf course. I'll explain that another time. Bad advice, all right? I'll give you that later. But the guy that owned putt-putt, he actually owned another store that I have made fun of a lot of times. He moved me from putt-putt to Gadzooks. Come on. Yes. I think I have a horrible picture just to remind you. Yeah, there you go. This is where it only the pictures. We'll move quickly through that. So I left from Gadzooks. You'll see why. From selling skateboards and all that into being a roadie on the road. That's exactly right. Doing some Christian music out there. There's Alan played guitar today. Greg Harrington plays for Martina McBride still to this day. And there I am, long hair and all. So I guess my son gets it normal. But a move from that, from roadieing all the way back to Shreveport, Louisiana from Nashville. And man, I moved up from roadie. What was your next job, Justin? I became a janitor. Amen. I did. I got a little janitor's job because when I came back, nobody would hire me. With hair like that, they're like, you ain't working nowhere. So a little church over in South Shreveport gave me a job. Larry Alton, one of my old music ministers, hired me back just so that I could have a job when I came back from Nashville to go to finish school. And in that process of all of those jobs, now, because you're probably going, well, why are you giving us your job history? Well, because every job that I was in, and just like you in this room, all of those jobs had the same problem. And you're going, well, what's the problem? Well, here's a picture of what that problem is, and you've probably figured it out. It's people. That's the problem. Every job that you get in, there are different people that you come in contact with. And we all know that when you have people in your life, it doesn't matter how you shake this out, people equal what? Problems. Some people are already ahead of me. They're like going, yeah, I get it. Now, you're probably asking, well, how do you know about problems? How do you know about people and their problems? Well, 30 years as a pastor, that helps. But I'm married for 23 years. Give Angie a lot of love because she knows I'm the problem. Have three teenagers. That's another problem, all right? You raising kids, you'll understand real quick, you know, from graduations to jobs and all the things going on. It's just not easy. But seriously, we all know that there are a lot of problems for all of us in this room. Many of you walked in here today, and they are connected to people many times. And Scripture also reminds us that this is kind of the way it is going to be. You shouldn't be shocked by that. 1 Peter 4:12 says, don't be surprised, man, at the painful things that you're now suffering, the things that you're going through. Because all of those things are doing what? They're testing our faith. And then this is the thing. Don't think that something strange is happening to you. Because this is the thing. All of us in here are going through things. There's people problems, whether it's with your kids or whether it's with a coworker or whether it's a spouse, a friend. I mean, you can go through all of these different circumstances. And I can tell you, some of you go, man, I feel like I'm the only one going through this. You're not. We're all in this together when it comes to battling and struggles and challenges. And these scriptures are written thousands of years ago, but they still apply today. Then you can fast forward from not just 1 Peter. You can look in John chapter 16, and even Jesus himself said this, that in this world you're going to have trouble. But cheer up, man, because I have overcome this world. So this was my whole challenge walking through this. I went back. I go back from cleaning houses with my mom all the way to janitor on the other side before I became a pastor and everything in between. I can remember a lot of different trouble, a lot of different circumstances. And as I was working through all of that, my mom was a believer. You know, I was going to church. All these things were happening, but it was still like, why is this happening to me? Why is that challenge happening? Why am I going through this circumstance? So here's my question for you today that I think all of us in here need to answer. We got to be able to answer. Good advice, bad advice, here's where it starts. What do you want to be known for? If you were to just stop right now and take an inventory and you were to say, you know what, this is what I hope people remember about me, this is what I hope people say about me. Because currently, when you're going through problems and circumstances that are difficult, we all have a tendency to complain about those problems. We also have this tendency that we would really love to run from those problems, run from some of those people. It's all tempting to do either one of those things, is to go, hey, man, I don't want to keep dealing with this. I don't want to have to deal with this person or that circumstance. And we complain about it. We may gather up and whine or complain or gripe or whatever. And I don't want to be known as that person. Although I struggle with both of those things, tempting to run away from it and also tempting to complain about it or really whine about it. So I thought again as I'm writing out a notes this week, can I give you some good advice? Yeah, how can you shift your focus from running or complaining into something that brings honor to God? Well, the advice is simple. Be known for solving problems. If you know that all people have problems, and you know that they're not going away, that for thousands of years they've been writing about problems, we know that you can look at my 51 years and I can tell you I've seen a lot of problems, walked through a lot of problems. You know that your friends have them, your coworkers have them. Sometimes it's wife, sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's church, and sometimes it's just the world that we live in. Everywhere we turn around, it's problem after problem after problem. And if Jesus were to look at us right now, he'd say, hey, listen, remember what I told you in John chapter 16? Cheer up. Hey, man, I put you in this world. I've overcome this world. There's a reason that you're in this world. And you can get real distracted and you can get real whiny or you can get real, again, tempted to run away from all of this, but you're not going to be able to run away from it. Everywhere you go, you're going to be running into this. And so Jesus, what he decided was to leave the comfort of heaven, come down to this earth and walk this earth as a young person, adult. Remember, you've already remembered from the time he was born into this world, there were problems. There was a king going around killing all the children. You may remember that. I mean, he had a mom that was a pregnant teenager that looked like, again, that she had made some really, really bad mistake because the daddy wasn't who they said the daddy was. Problems. All of this is going on, and Jesus is coming in the midst of that. And then he came into a religious world that was full of problems, into a Roman Empire that was oppressive and trying to knock them down, problem after problem after problem. And then he walked into a world that's just like our world, man, full of sickness and disease. All of these things going on around him. And then Jesus decided to set the example for us. And this is what he did. He became the ultimate problem solver. Now, why in the world would I bring you back to this? It's because we are tempted to say, and I've heard my own lips say this, I'll just be glad we don't have to deal with any of this stuff anymore. I mean, man, I just want to be done with having to go through that challenge or this challenge. And I think we all agree with that. But Jesus, in the midst of the most challenging and difficult circumstances, looked for ways to solve problems, and he admired the people who were really focused on solving problems. When he saw it, he was like, that's what I'm looking for. This is what I want my people to be. This is who I challenge you to be. This is what we should be trying to figure out. One of the best examples of this is that while he was walking the planet and seeing problem after problem after problem, you got to remember, too, you can't solve every problem. I mean, the truth is even Jesus, who was unbelievable problem solver, could only handle so many at a given moment. Sometimes when he walked into a town, some would get healed and some wouldn't. Some would be met with and some wouldn't. Some he would call down Zacchaeus out of the tree and then other people he didn't know. Some he'd go eat with them and some he couldn't eat with them. But he was always aware of, hey, here are the problems and here are the circumstances. And then he would highlight. And the writers that wrote out the scripture, so, for example, Luke, a doctor, very detailed, wrote down this story because he was like, this one got Jesus. So when you look at the Gospel of Luke, these are the writings of Luke going, this is what I saw Jesus do, and this is what moved him. This is what made him go, wow, this is crazy. This is cool. This is something you'll never forget. Luke chapter 5, Jesus admiring problem solvers. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to push through the crowd to get to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him. So Luke is writing it down. He goes, I'll never forget, man, when those men came up and they were trying to get to Jesus, but they couldn't. Luke is telling the story. So the men went up on the roof above him. They took off the tiles and lowered the sick man down in the crowd, still sleeping on his mat. You got to understand, this was a tripped out moment. These guys were like, they're so committed to getting to Jesus that they ripped off the roof, came up with a way to lower him down and to put him right in front of Jesus. And then as the man is lowered right in front of Jesus, Jesus says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to them, my friend, your sins are forgiven. This was such a powerful moment that when Jesus saw the faith of those friends, he healed the sick man based on the faith of the friends. I mean, this is one of those things he was going, hey, you know what? Seeing their faith, that they were so committed to problem solving that they did not let obstacles keep them from getting to what they needed to get to, which was the person of Jesus. That Jesus saw them and it moved him so much that it moved Jesus into action himself. He's like, man, this is what I'm looking for. How many of us would have been discouraged, would have given up, would have thrown in the towel and just said, it's just too difficult. We can't fight the crowd. Now, how are we going to get him there? We can't do it. But he did. They didn't. They kept fighting through problem after problem. The crowd, people, too big of a problem. But not for them. They just kept fighting through. So what I think in my mind and kind of write down and work through is when Jesus sees me or when he sees you, what does he see? Like, does he see someone that's discouraged? Does he see someone that quits easily? Does he see someone that just complains about circumstances and situations? Or does he see someone that is so full of faith, so committed to solving problems in the name of Christ that nothing could discourage him? Nothing is going to knock him off his path. So then I wrote down the question for all of us to answer today. What if Jesus saw our faith in action? We already know that Jesus admires faith in action because we have stories that even Luke was telling us word for word, like, dude, that was something powerful. But then let's make it personal. Is your faith so action-oriented that Jesus would recognize you and go, that's what I'm talking about? Or do you equate your faith to, I just sit and listen to a sermon? Or I just listen to a podcast, or I equate my faith to, I just attend, I'm just kind of hanging out. Or do you go, man, no, I'm hanging out hoping that I can figure that out. Well, here's the thing I want you to figure out today. Faith really is about action when it comes to Jesus. He admires us when we go, hey, I have faith that you are who you say you are, and because of that, Jesus, it will drive me to be different. It will drive me to be a problem solver just like you were, because my faith has to go into action, and that action is literal problem solving. But how, Justin? Can you give me some practical advice? How are we going to go do this? Yes, I can. I'm going to make it quick for you today, too. I'm going to make it real easy for you to grab a hold of this and go, all right, what am I supposed to be doing? Because for most of us, this next statement will not be revolutionary. You will not go, I've never heard that before. But honestly evaluate yourself and go, is this who I am? When I get up in the morning, when I go to work, when I live my life, when I am with my friends, my community, whatever it is, does this statement say something about you? She goes, what is faith in action? It's solving problems, but we solve problems how? By our love and our sacrifices. So let me explain this. This past week, it's been tough, man. We've been going through a lot of different things. And as I've been going through these different things, I've been going through, all right, God, help me. And what helps us is to know that Jesus is with you. He's been there. You saw him go through some very challenging circumstances. In the same way of the writers in the New Testament, when they saw Jesus walking through these challenging, difficult circumstances, they wrote down things like this, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example. So Paul's writing. These writers are writing. Peter, you can look at Luke. You can look at John. You can look at Matthew. They were all going, hey, here's the deal. Follow my example as I followed the example of Christ. So what are they saying? It's like, hey, listen, if you're going to really be like Jesus, then I'm going to tell you I saw him doing certain things. So as I'm trying to follow his example, you follow my example. But now let's pause and think about us. Do your kids follow your example? If someone were to see you and they're say, hey, I'm a believer, I'm a follower in Christ, well then, like, what example are they following? Complaining, griping about the government or about crime or about whatever. Oh, this is just horrible. Is that what they would follow? Or would they go, no, they would follow someone that by faith has driven themselves into action, and that action is because we were full of love and we are full of the desire to sacrifice the way that Christ did. Because Christ was full of love and he was full of sacrifice. And then, just in case we still didn't get it, when you look at the New Testament, they were writing all this out over and over again. The followers, the guys that were with Jesus, the ones that had been directly impacted, were writing down letter after letter to churches, to friends, to encourage them, to challenge them, to go, hey man, don't forget. 1 Peter chapter 4 is another example. Most of all, above everything else, don't forget this, guys. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Love and sacrifice. Why? Because love makes up for practically anything. So then what does he say? Does he just stop right there? He's like, no. He goes, now let me even get more practical for you. Ready? This is it. Be quick to give a meal to hungry, a bed to the homeless. Be generous with the different things God gave you. Then he even gets more specific. Be careful with your words. Are we complaining, griping? No, he said, hey, if it's words God's given you, let it be God's words. If it's help that God has given you, then let it be God's help. He was like, hey, man, whether it's practically meeting the need or whether it's with your encouragement, man, love makes up for practically anything, so don't forget this. And then he says, as a result, what happens? That way, God's presence will be evident in what? Everything. God's presence would be evident at your work, at your school, in your home, in your life groups, in your friend groups, at the restaurant. How? Through Jesus. Because on our own, let's be honest, man, I'm telling you, I can struggle. And this is one of those days I can struggle just like you. And I'm going, all right, God, by faith, I have got to get up and keep pressing through. And I will let your love give me the strength and the encouragement to help me to sacrifice so that I can get through, and in the process that you will get the credit, not me, not the church, not anyone else. So that Jesus, you get all the credit. Now I can really brag on y'all this week, and I'll give you a little bit of why this week has been so tough. I got to see it this week. I got to see this scripture lived out in some of the most difficult, challenging circumstances that you'll ever face. Here's a picture of a young man, 16-year-old young man. It's Mr. Lane. You've probably seen on the news, and Lane sat exactly where you sit. Though it's dark, you probably never saw him or recognized him, but his family is a part of Simple Church. Plays football at Calvary, plays baseball at Calvary. But he comes to Simple Church, came to Simple Church. And when the tragic accident happened, that he drowned on Lake Bistineau, all of the phone calls started coming in, and all of the action started happening. And there was a lot of love that was being shown, and there was a lot of sacrifice being made. Because in the middle of that tragedy, talk is cheap. So when you're going through something right now, what's the value of being in a church? What's the value? Listen, we're going to mess it up. We're not perfect. We can really not do everything we're supposed to do. And some of you may be watching, well, they didn't do this and they didn't do that for me. And they, listen, dude, we can mess it up. But our heart is to try our best to love and meet the need and solve the problem to the best of our ability. And sometimes we do good and sometimes we fall a little short. But the bottom line is, God, help us to love the way you love. That's our desire. So if we've fallen short, if we messed up with you, man, I pray that you'll forgive us and that you will understand that, man, we're trying. And then you would go, what can I do to make it better for the next person? What can I do to make it better for the next circumstance or situation that's overwhelming? Because these situations are overwhelming. It's crazy. But here's what I saw. I saw people that rallied to clean the house when the family, when they didn't know this tragedy was happening, as maybe your home would be, I can tell you ours would be, and all of a sudden everybody starts showing up at their house, they start looking around and go, oh my gosh, our house needs to be cleaned, but we're in the middle of a tragedy, we've lost our son, and so they didn't know what to do, and so some of the other people said, is there anyone that can just clean their house? And guess what? Multiple people said, I can do that for them. And without any reservation, as quick as they could, they got over there and cleaned a stranger's house. And then what's like, hey, man, they got to have food. You know how it is, man. There's a lot of people coming and going. This is a 16-year-old kid, so kids are coming out of the house. It's high emotion. All this stuff's going on. So what? Not just one person, but stacks and stacks of food started coming in the house from everybody in the community. Sacrifice, love, in action, solving problems. And this is a problem when you start thinking about right now. Well, the problem was the house was dirty. I can clean that. The problem was there was no food. I can buy the food and I can deliver that. But there's also a bigger problem is it's a funeral that no one expected. Funeral's tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Calvary. I'll be doing it. I asked the coaches to speak too, so the family, we're trying to pull together and do the very best we can to celebrate the life of Lane, this amazing young man. But in that process, we also understand there's still sacrifices that need to be made. And what was most amazing, as we were sitting around and we were talking and trying to work everything out, someone gets a phone call and says, hey, by the way, a stranger, an anonymous person, has paid for the entire funeral. There are no expenses to the family. Yes. So you just start thinking about what a burden that was lifted because somebody said, I got you. I can clean. I can't pay for the funeral, but I can clean. Hey, I can't pay for the funeral, but I can bring food. And hey, I can do this. And I'm thinking, man, look at all these problems that are being solved. And so in the midst of everything else that we're trying to do, this kind of stuff rocks your world because you're going, man, we didn't see this coming. We didn't know what was going on. But it's real. It's painful. You go, well, what else was going on, Joshua? Well, I'll tell you what else is going on. I don't know if you've watched the news or not, but you live in a city that's going through some really difficult times. So the police chief called and asked if we could help with doing signs and helping with reducing violence in our city. So the staff and the team got together and made 40 different signs to be handed out to all the fire stations and all the police stations, which again, your money went to make that happen because they didn't have the money, they didn't have the time, and they didn't have the skill to get it done. But Caleb worked extra hard getting the stuff ready. Brian, Scott, John, people in the office, girls all came in. Christy Rose broke her nose over it. You know what I'm saying? Or at least one of those things and literally hit her in the nose. If you see her, a little black eye, that's why. But it was all for one reason, to solve the problem, to do our best in the darkest, most difficult times. They got a prayer rally today at Independence Stadium. You're invited to go out there. I think it's at 3 o'clock. There's a visitation for the family at Calvary at 3 o'clock. So multiple things are going on all over. So we're trying to figure out how to solve as many problems as possible. But here's the reason that you go through this. This is why you answer the call. This is why you say, yeah, I got your back. I'll help you. It's because in Matthew, they wrote down what Jesus said when he said things like this. You, my friend, are the light of the world. You are the light that shines for the world to see, a light for other people. So then what do you say? Well, you got to live so that when they see the good things you do, when you're solving the problems, that they will praise your Father in heaven. You want to know why it matters today that you come in and you listen? Is because hopefully you listen today, whether you're watching online or in this room, and it motivates you into love in action, following the example of Christ. You want some good advice? Here's some good advice. In the darkest of times, be the light. You mean to continue that? I'll continue it for you. In a world full of problems, political problems, socioeconomic problems, race problems. You could go through the idea that problems will disappear. You already saw the scripture, that'll never happen. So what some people say was, just let me pull away from that. Let me just get away. I'm going to create my own schools, or I'm going to create my own little safe places. I'm going to just run away from all the problems. I got news for you. Problems are going to be everywhere. And if you're a believer, what Jesus says is no. What my hope is that you would be the light, that you wouldn't run away from it, that the only way that we have effectiveness is to put the light in the darkness. And in a world full of problems, many are looking for a miracle. So here's what I thought. They're looking for a cure. We're talking about cancer survivors today. We're talking about my friends, people in this church. We're talking about some difficult, challenging problems. Maybe the miracle that they're looking for is you. Maybe it's you that can be that miracle. And this is what we try to do in the Simple Church. And so I put together, with Caleb's help and the helps of these families, two families that you've probably heard of in the past at Simple Church. little Dakota and little Jude. And these are their parents, two kids battling cancer right here in our church. But listen to the stories and listen to what they decided to do. And their faith put into action through love and sacrifice. Watch.
Hey, we're the Elmore family. Jude, Mike, and Tracy.
I'm Katie Franks, and this is Jesse Franks.
Hey.
Deacon and Dakota. Dakota was diagnosed with kidney cancer when she was 2.5.
When we first got diagnosed, there's a guy here in town named Trey, and it felt like it was a week, but it was probably only a couple of days, he got in touch with me and he told me, he was like, you know, look, I've already been through this. He's like, well, you know, we have this organization, we're gonna help you guys. He was like, there's gonna be a lot of things that are gonna come up that you didn't think about, you can't think about, you're not prepared for them.
We had to depend on a lot of our family and friends and the community, some people we didn't even know.
During treatment, we had people that would come by and check on us and bring meals.
At Christmas time, a company came and put up Christmas lights. But that just that small gesture was so huge for us.
The church helped us get new furniture. Otherwise, we'd be sleeping on the floor, but...
So by us going through our journey now for 2.5 years, we've had to realize it's impossible to do this alone.
When we experienced all of this and having other people help us, it showed us more of what we can do. Because when you get into this situation, you feel like you kind of get lost and it's isolating. But when other people extend their help to you, it makes you want to do the same.
Everyone goes through hard times in life, and if we could all be someone's miracle when they're struggling, and it might just be something small just to give someone some hope and let you know them know that we're here, it could just give them the little motivation to keep going and to keep fighting and know that one day, you know, it will get better.
It's kind of the same thing where if we can be there for somebody, mm-hmm. like some of these other families that come up, because we'll see them on Facebook or something, they're like, hey, we just got diagnosed. And, you know, one of us be like, okay, well, it's, you know, you need this or you need this or, you know, this is going to come up kind of thing. And it's kind of being there and paying it forward, I guess, would be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Give it up for those families. Awesome. You see the Elmores, you see the Franks, and over these past few years, it's been, we're not perfect, we ain't got it all right, but your heart, your giving has helped. It makes a difference. So we celebrate these survivors today. We celebrate the fact that God has them on this planet, and their heart is to continue to help other people. And why? Because you've been there to help them. In small ways and large ways, buying furniture or lighting their house up or whatever it may be. It's the simplest, smallest things. I can remember on Dakota when we did a do-good day, someone just did their flower beds, and it was one of the first things when little Dakota came out of the house and kissed that flower bed. Just said, thank you for doing this for me. A small child recognizing the love and the sacrifice of people just like you. So when you give to Simple Church, I want you to understand this is just a portion of what we do. It's one of the things that we're the most proud of that we're trying to accomplish is to follow the example set by Christ, to love people unconditionally, and to sacrifice for them. Got an email, too, this past week just to go even beyond cancer, and you'll see like a school had a need of getting the floor for their educational center. And so we were like, hey, well, we can raise that money. We can put that money together. And so to help these educators that were trying to help kids that are getting skills and developing skills, you were able to solve that problem. That's because they told us there was a problem and we came in and said, hey, we can help that. Sacrifice a little bit, show them the love. Also, right here on this stage, we helped with the LSUS graduation. This is kind of a crazy story, but the LSU Health, graduation, they were in the process of trying to figure out how to graduate and had no facilities, no lights, no, you know, stage, no videos, but there we were going, hey, here it is. And then you'll see that these are the men and women that will be serving you in this community and serving in the health field. Because someone's going, hey, we can love them and sacrifice a little bit and solve that problem. And Mike Sewell, one of my good buddies, called and said, man, you'll never know what it meant to all those graduates to know that someone helped them to pull it off when they didn't have a way to do that. Like, man, it's no problem. It's one thing we can do. You got a problem, how can we help solve it? And then as a daddy, I was more proud than you can ever know when little Emma, my youngest 15-year-old, says, Dad, she has beautiful hair. Another simple way, she went, look at that, beautiful long hair. And she said, Dad, I've grown it out, and here's my purpose of why I'm doing it. You see the next picture, she cut it all off just to say, hey, if I can solve someone else's problem by providing a wig, providing someone to have hair when they're battling cancer, whatever, then that's my honor to do so. So whether it's in the personal category, whether it's in the church category, in your business category, you heard about the family, Dakota, when she said, well, a business guy right here, Jason Lawnmaster, said, hey, we'll put the lights up for nothing. You and I have the power to solve problems. But here's more good advice for you. Ready? If you're going to do it, you got to see the need, and then you got to meet the need. You have to see that there's a problem and then go, all right, I want to meet that need. One of my favorite stories in Simple Church is another good friend of mine went to Southwood with me that he did exactly that, him and his wife Cindy. They're in the lobby today selling their T-shirts and stuff, because here is his story, and he didn't want to make it just about him. Matter of fact, one of his favorite shirts I've worn on this stage is, it's not about you, because he's like, dude, it ain't about me. It's about what I can do for others. And here is Brian's story, why it matters to love and to sacrifice and meet needs. Take it away.
I'm Brian Hutchinson, and I've had cancer three different times, CLL all three times. When first getting diagnosed, I mean, 8 years ago, not knowing what it was and not understanding what you'd be going through was very scary. You know, because at the time I really didn't know anyone to reach out to talk to that had gone through this before. So yeah, it was very scary until, you know, you just kind of realize that either you can, you know, choose to lay down and not fight, or you can stand up and fight it. And so I think by standing up and saying, I'm going to win this battle, that gets you through it. Anyway, and I started this program, the Give All Project, I guess a few months ago. So it just something that God laid on my heart. It was just like one of these things. I kind of thought about some things, you know, how can I, help others to encourage them and whatever kind of help they may need. I mean, we're going to be there to support them and help them to do whatever we can. If, you know, if there's questions that they have about whatever they're going through and I don't have them, I'll, you know, do my best to do my research to help them. And so that's what it's all about, is just reaching out and to help these people. And by the sale of the merchandise helps to, you know, fund some of this stuff to help these people, but no matter what the case may be. So we're there to, you know, to help them and, you know, support them and do whatever we can.
Come on, give it up for Brian out there in the lobby today. He's got some shirts out there, Surviving and Thriving. If you got somebody going through the Give All thing, his whole project. Also, you already see the one I'm wearing today, but they got a new one now with the purple that just represents all cancers. And you already know this is exactly what we do with the Do Good Store as well. There's some of the Do Good stuff out there. It has a little ribbon on the side here, too, if you know someone battling through that. Because our hearts, and Brian and Cindy have been in the church, they've known them forever, but they're going, hey, we want to create something that we can do on our own too. And they've actually given money to the church to help. In addition to what they're doing with the money to help other people, they've given to help families just like this. This is Fallon and DJ, another couple in our church right now going through, I think we have that picture, yeah, right there, going through a very difficult time. DJ just got diagnosed. Fallon's in the church, and they're battling right now. They're creating the link, and we'll put that on our Facebook and social media and all that stuff, because they're trying to raise some money, because unexpected tragedy, a problem has arisen. He's battling cancer now, and this is the kind of people that Brian and Cindy help, the kind of people we help, the kind that you can be a part of helping. And this is the thing. As we get ready to wrap up and you get ready to walk out of here, and you're going, Justin, well, what's the challenge for us today? Well, here's the thing. You want more good advice? Be someone's miracle. Solve a problem. You can, I can. Brian's and Cindy are a good example of it. The Fallon's, this is the thing. I mean, if she's going through it, she can help do the same thing to help DJ and what he's going through. And that's Brittany and them are organizing and selling some shirts to do that as well. Then you have the Franks and the Elmores doing the same thing. All of us trying to go, man, it's not about us. How can we be a miracle for someone else? I ran across this advice too, and this is from Nick. Again, an amazing young man. I'll let you see him in a couple of minutes. But said, when God doesn't grant your miracles, remember that you're the miracle he sent for somebody else. Many of you in here keep praying, what about me? What about me? What about me? And he's like, man, it's not just about you. It's about what you can do for somebody else. It's about that God may have, again, allowed whatever you're going through to happen so that you can be a light, you can be an encouragement, you can help someone else. I don't understand it. It stinks when you go through losing a 16-year-old or a tragedy that maybe you've experienced. It sucks. It really is the worst. But maybe, just maybe, that God is going to use you to challenge or inspire or help someone else. And you say, well, who is Nick? Well, Nick is a guy that's done just that. Here's his picture. Maybe you remember his story from the past, but this is a young man who was born with no arms and no legs. And this is my challenge to you. No Steve Hartman today, just this video to kind of rally you, to motivate you, to encourage you. That whatever you're going through, whatever problem, whatever challenge, don't give up, man. Don't make excuses. Don't be complaining. Don't be sitting around whining about it. Let's rally together to go, what problem is out there? And how can I be a part of solving it? And maybe that's through your love and through your sacrifice personally. Like Brian and Cindy, they'll be out in the lobby. You want to buy the shirts, the Do Good Stuff's out there. You can do that. Maybe it's, again, you see the link and you go, what can I do to be an inspiration? Well, here's the first step. Don't you ever give up. Watch.
Growing up as a child, I would be quite envious of everybody else around me who had arms and legs, including my brother and sister at times. I was born without limbs for no medical reason. And I hated God. So why did he give me less? What did I do to deserve that? Today, I stand before you without arms and legs, but a very strong man because of the bad days in my life. So you will have good days and you'll have bad days. But you will always learn something more or something new, and you will learn more overall on bad days than good days. You will learn more about yourself, you'll learn more about relationships, you'll learn about life and principles, and it'll build your character.
But I tell you, there are some times in life where you fall down and you feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. Do you think you have hope? Because I tell you, I'm down here, face down, and I have no arms, no legs. It should be impossible for me to get back up. It should be impossible for me to get back up, but it's not. You see, I will try 100 times to get up, and if I fail 100 times, if I fail and I give up, do you think that I'm ever going to get up? No. For as long as I try, there's always that chance of getting up, and it's not the end until you've given up.
If you didn't go what you've gone through, you wouldn't be who you are today. You may have arms and legs, but unless you know three things. Number one, who are you and what your value is? Number two, what is your purpose here in life? And number three, what is your destiny when you're done here? If you don't know the answers of any of those three questions, you're more disabled than I.
I've gone from a life without limbs into a life without limits. What about you?
Come on, man, give it up for that dude. Unbelievable, Nick. My prayer is that you'd be motivated, you'd be encouraged, you'd be challenged to know why you're here. I want to pray for you. God, if there's someone trying to figure that out, I pray that they would know, number one, that you came to solve the problem we couldn't solve, and that was being separated from you because of our mistakes. You died on the cross, you shed your blood, and you overcame the grave through the power of the resurrection to give us hope today. To remind us that there is hope, a fresh start, a new beginning. Help someone today to receive that free gift if they've never done it. When they simply call out and say, God, I admit I am a sinner. I need you in my life, Jesus. Come into my life and save me. You promised to meet them right there. And that solves our eternity problem. But then you also tell us that we're not off of this planet until we have discovered what we're here for and we have fulfilled that purpose. That we will not leave this planet until that purpose is fulfilled. And so, God, we can take peace in that, but we also know that there's something we need to be trying to figure out what to do. Well, so whether it's like Brian and Cindy, they're going, hey, we've owned hair salons, we've done all these different things, but man, this is a way through in the middle of our darkest time to point to the hope that is in Christ and to encourage and to sacrifice and love for other people. Same way when it comes to the Frank family, God, or when it comes to the Elmores, they've battled all this. There they are trying to help other people and remind people they're going to make it. So then I think of the DJs that are battling and going, all right, I need hope, I need some encouragement. The Fallons that's trying to go, how can I get through this? I can think about the police that are right now in this community going, man, I need help. I need someone to say I'm with you instead of complaining and griping, that they'll say, help me be a part of the solution. Let me join you. So as the simple churches, we're making signs to say, we got your back. We're going to help you. God, whatever it is, help us to not just sit back and whine and complain, but to be actively looking for ways to see the need and to meet the need, to solve the problems in the name of Christ. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that when you saw our heart, when you saw that faith in action, it moved you then. When you saw those young men tearing the roof apart to get their friend to you, I pray, God, you would be moved by our heart as well as we do everything we can to try our best to make this world a little better, to be a light in the middle of the darkness. Help us, God, to discover that, to make the difference, to give, to sacrifice, to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Make sure you go by, please, outside. Man, if you want to make a simple donation, buy a shirt or whatever, all of it goes away to helping other people. All of those t-shirts are out there. Go by there and make a purchase. We love you. Thank you for being here today. Be praying for these families. Be praying for our cities. If you want to go down to Independence today, 3 o'clock, they're going to open it up. So you can go down there and pray with a bunch of people to pray for some peace in our city as well. All right? I love y'all. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Thanks for coming.